Us, those that are here, and you who are gathered together with us throughout the body of Christ, and that we can communicate one with another through the medium of the internet. You never know for sure where the internet is going to go, so we use it while we can and as much as we can. So it's just good to be with you this morning. Now, speaking of those that are with us on the internet, let me mention a brother and sister that live in Olathe, Kansas, and who were with us during the Bible conference. And I'm just making to them a special announcement, and you'll hear why. Brother Paul and Vera sent me an email, and I got your email. If I had a phone number, I would have just called you, but I don't. So I'm doing this morning because it was important. I read your email, and I mean, it was a blessed email and a good sharing. And in that, you mentioned, you asked, let you know if the book had arrived. Brother Potash borrowed a book, a little pamphlet, to take home and copy and then send it back to me. And so it arrived. And in the email, you had asked me if it had arrived, and all I did was just put a little line there and said, yes, the book came, and thank you very much. Well, I hadn't opened it at that time, brother. At the time I read the email. After I'd read your email and I had answered it, I went home and I did open the package, which was rather large, but, you know, I figured you'd just send it in a large package because I didn't want it to get damaged or something and whatever. But I appreciate you taking the time, you and your wife, Vera, who I understand did actually the work on it. These folks made me a copy with a color cover on it. That's, I mean, you know, like an 8x11 or whatever, a big copy of it that we could also copy here for some others who wanted it, and I know several that have asked for it. Well, I didn't know all that was in that, so I said nothing about it. I just said, yes, the book arrived. Well, it did arrive, and all the rest that you sent with it, and brother, we appreciate it very, very much. And just may the Lord bless you and your wife. We were glad to hear that the condition she had while she was here had greatly improved. And so we're just glad and happy to hear from you. And we welcome you to communicate with us in any way that you possibly can. I will tell you, the best way to communicate with me personally is by phone. Now, you can write a long letter, you can send an email, you can do what you want. Everybody does. But I'm just telling you, the best way to communicate with me is by phone. I do a whole lot better talking than I do trying to type. Now, I can write longhand, man, I can keep up with my mind. Of course, the problem with that is you can't read it. So, once again, the best way to communicate. And if there's some reason you can't do that, well, send the emails. I enjoy getting them. And a lot of folks like yourself are not handicapped in expressing your thoughts, because you actually did that in the email you sent me, expressing your heart through typing and communicating in that way. Many folks are able to do that. I'm not one of them. But I can answer it and say, yes, I got it, and thank you for it, and stuff like that. All right, let's continue this morning with the reality of being in Christ. Someone had put a circle on the board, and I'm assuming that's a cross in it, speaking about, you know, Christ or cross-centeredness. And I was just thinking as I sat down there and glanced up and saw, I don't think I put that in there, but the reality of our being in Christ, this union. And I want to just talk with you. I may repeat some of the things that I've said, I don't know, but it is to me, and I think certainly to the Lord, that we come to understand our union with Christ in this relationship of which we are now speaking. Because the Lord speaks of that relationship as being threefold in John 14. We've read that. Whether we understand it or not, we read it. I've said it enough here and in other mediums of ministry that everyone should be able to just quote it. John 14, verse 20, in that day, speaking of the day his coming at Pentecost. Actually, he just gathered Pentecost and that whole feast right into himself. It was always about him, always pointing to him. He gathered it into himself. Same way with the cross. He gathered that into himself. He gathered that whole feast into himself. And the same way with tabernacles, he gathered that threefold feast into himself. Well, all right. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father. His union with the Father is really the foundation, the total absolute basis of our union with Him. He came out from the Father, returned to the Father, so that we could be in Him and so that He could be in us. But that going out and returning to the Father is the thing that He said, you will know. Most don't know. Most don't have any kind of an idea because, hon, most Christians and too many ministries and preachers are so bound up with the term theology and doctrines of either Calvinism, Arminianism, or all the other isms, and are squared off like somebody playing checkers with 900 opponents. And that's, you know, that's the way it is. The simplicity, not the simpleness, but the simplicity, the clarity, the singleness of our salvation is Christ Himself. Not that He exists, Well, that too. But then he is the self-existent one, the eternal existent one. But so we're not talking about his existence. We're talking about who he is. Who he is who lives in you. Who he is who whose house we are. And we could go on down the line there. And that's what we're talking about when we say our whole salvation is summed up in Christ, in who he is. In who he is. Not in all of these theories. Millennialism. Post-millennialism. Pre-millennial. I mean, it just goes on. And those are big words. All kind of books of theology have been written about them. And darling, they're not worth the paper that they're written on. And they're certainly not worth the time that some well-meaning and maybe good brother or sister spent doing it. Because it has nothing to do with the reality of our salvation in Christ. Nothing to do with it. Just made up terms for things that haven't yet come to pass. The fullness of our salvation, the completeness of our salvation, our divine union. No, we are not divinity, but the union is a divine union because it's brought about by the Spirit of God. That union we have with Christ is full, is complete, because Christ himself is the fullness and completeness of it. Unfortunately, the comprehension of the heart, of the soul, of most believers has not embraced that union in an inward way. That's unfortunate that so many believers are so few believers truly walk in the light as he is in the light. And honey, your doctrinal statement doesn't qualify as light. Neither does mine. Life, L-I-F-E, life is the light. And the light is the light of the life. Christ, life and light. Now that's just the way it is. And it is the shining in our hearts of the light of that life that opens the eyes of our understanding, that we may begin to comprehend him who is our life, that we may begin to comprehend him who lives in us, in whom we dwell, in all of the aspects and measure of that union. That the darkness of humanity's ignorance be dispelled from our soul and heart by the light of eternity, which is Christ himself. May we be filled with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the indwelling Jesus Christ our Lord. I found something on my chest of drawers this morning where chest of drawers are in our bedroom. And I had just written this down one night because I wrote all over the page here, but it just says, our union with a person. I must have been thinking about this, got up out of bed and wrote it. Our union with a person cannot be truly understood, seen, or experienced by reading something written about that person. We must see in order to truly know. Well, yes, the words are virtually the same. We must see the person. With the indwelling Christ, seeing is knowing, and knowing is experiencing the reality. None of that brings Christ into you. But it is the seeing of Him that fills our very soul with the light of His presence. And there's no way you can get around that without throwing half the Bible out the window, or maybe all of it, since the whole thing starts with what everything that God does in Christ starts with. God said, "Let there be light." Now you can certainly bring that right over into the new covenant, the new creation, and most particularly all of that gathered up in this term, our being in Christ. Hun, so I'm back now. Being in Christ, that threefold union. You shall know I'm in my Father, you are in me, I in you. Our being in Christ. And though we won't talk about it this morning, the cross is so very definitely the center of that relationship. The cross is what makes that relationship possible. The cross, in its fullness, the cross, His death, burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His coming again, all of that is caught up right there in the cross, bringing to be made manifest that work which He finished and which He is the substance of on the cross and by the cross, bringing that into a manifest reality. And I'm talking about, partially, I'm talking about the church. He brought about the church, hon. Before the cross, there was no such thing as the church actually being made manifest in the earth. The body of Christ did not exist and was not made manifest in the earth. He had disciples that followed Him up and down the roads and didn't understand half of what He said. You know that and I know that. I'm not telling you there wasn't a relationship there. I'm telling you there was not a union there. And we need to stop and think about that. Are we in our hearts now? I'm talking about in our hearts. Are we in our hearts in a relationship or a union with the Lord? And then by virtue of that, automatically by virtue of that union, our relationship with Him, that's exactly what we are with one another. Just exactly. That determines it. We're either in a relationship with one another, and that's got to be based on something. Or we're in union with one another, and that's only based on one thing. The one whose body we are. The one individually whose vessel we are. The one. Relationship, as I told you, hon, relationships are good. We've got a lot of them, but then sometimes you know, well, let's forget about that. They're based on anything. Well, the disciples. See? His ministry really began to be forceful, leading right up to the day. Well, yes, to the night before his crucifixion was one of union, union, union. Stressing to them, believe me, my Father and I are one. Believe me, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Believe me that the works you have seen me do, the Father is in me, I am the Father, on and on and on. Because in none of that did they share. In none of it could they share. Nor could he share that with them. But he knew the cross would make the difference and all that the cross involves. So, honey, we are where we are because of the cross. And it is such a pitiful thing that in most, I mean, it's just, Lord, Lord, it has just become the general theme of the church world and the general thinking of the natural world in general. That all our salvation is about is forgiveness from sins and then doing better and then not sinning and then living. And here it goes. I mean, and I hear that. If I listen to the radio or if I watch TV or if there's anybody, you know, on it, and in the religious part of it. And if there's any speaking concerning union at all, it's all referred to that time hasn't come, that day hasn't come. But one day, you know. And we lose the whole idea. I mean, even the idea of salvation, even the idea of him having a body functioning in the understanding of himself. On and in the earth. No. Just a bunch of people living their lives the best they can, waiting for him to come and get them. The reality that we're talking about is that he has already come. And we're not making this up. It's right here. The New Testament is full of it. The Old Testament is full of the promise of it. Not only full of the promise of it, but full of the absolute necessity of it. You look. You look in the Old Testament. Just look there. Their captivity, and I'll go no further back than the captivity in Egypt. The coming of the Lord, even in type and shadow, but the coming of the Lord was necessary, a necessity of their deliverance then. You will have to agree with me that God could have, had that whole event not being a testimony of Jesus Christ, God could have easily destroyed Egypt. Just, I mean, come on, darling. With a plague that lasted more than a day or two, or a week or two. But that wasn't God's purpose. His purpose was Israel. Not only coming out, but coming in to a place where only God Himself could take them. And therefore, the prophetic reality of it is that He bore them out on eagle's wings. It was the Lord. It's actually happened to us. Actually has taken place. With or without our comprehension, but if you're in Christ Jesus, it's really taken place. Who hath delivered us? Who hath? Colossians 1, 13, I think. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? To Israel, Egypt represented that. For 400 years. Delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. See, that's the reality of it. It is a spiritual thing. It's a miraculous thing. Translated us. Not in body. In soul. In heart, in the inner man. In that relationship, we are His body, so it's His very own body that He has translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You hardly ever hear anybody talk about that in the church world because it is extremely difficult to spin that so that it can even sound like it might be talking about something yet to come. I mean, you can't spin it and get there. You just have to tape over it and ignore it. Who hath translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. So, darling, what we're talking about is indeed more than a relationship with a person. It's a union. It's a union. Jesus points to it in the natural, in nature itself. And nature itself, while a type, it is not a perfect type. The vine, the branches. And yet most read that and still have no understanding of it. He Himself spoke that parable, if we call it that, to the Jews. He did that. I didn't do that. He did that. And they neither understood nor received it. And Christians read it all the time, and there's probably 50 different understandings, or not lack of understanding, that comes out of that, because you and I both have heard everything about it. It's the seed, darling. It's the seed. Whether it be the tree that is mentioned in a different place, whether it be the vine, it's the seed, honey. It's the seed. And that seed is Christ. Now, all of the examples, that's fine, but it's the seed. It all comes down to the seed. And that's where Israel couldn't take it or wouldn't take it. He came to his own. He didn't send them another prophet. He was the prophet that came. He was the summation of the prophet that came. He was all that Moses stood for and much more. Moses was a servant in his house, Christ the Son in his house, whose house we are. I'm just saying he's a greater than Moses. But he came and they would not receive him. It wasn't just a matter of what he said. They wouldn't receive him. You say, well, it was his words. Listen to me carefully. While that may or may not be so with you and me, what I'm about to say, Christ could not be separated from what he said. My words, they are spirit and they are life. He came presenting himself. That's why he was able to do what he did when he took their book, their scroll, unrolled it, and read it to them, and said, today, this is fulfilled right here in front of you. Now, what did they do with that? Did they understand that? Did they accept that? No, because it was him. It was him. His words were never apart or other than he himself. Never. And they're not now. And yet religion makes them so. Religion takes where it is written here by one of the apostles, the exact, you know, what Jesus said. And religion today takes these words that are attributed to Jesus himself, maybe they're in red letters in your Bible or something, but whatever, and separate them from him. You can't do that. I mean, you do it. But when you do, you lose the life, the spirit, the meaning of those words. Because it's not about what Jesus said in words, the words that he said. It's all about the one who said them. He came to his own. He didn't send messages to him. He didn't send another prophet to him. He came. And they received him. Oh yes, honey, it was a personal rejection. I wonder how many believers today, those that are in our church world, who are sitting in pews this morning and chairs this morning, who have come by one means or another to be called a Christian, to be accepted as a church member, maybe even to be born again. But I wonder how many in their heart, when whatever happened, happened, how many in their heart received in their heart, in their what they received him as a person, not a person far off, not a person in their imagination, no, a person. Person in spirit, in truth, but person. up against how many received that their sins were forgiven or accepted that or believed that. Because I've talked to people that did that when they were on their deathbed. Not only one. I mean, I've talked to a bunch of them. And the thing they were interested in, Brother Lumen, you don't know some of the things that I did. And they were in fear. They were in doubt whether they had really been forgiven or not. Because most of them had people, places, and things in their mind that they were not able to forgive. And they spilled all that out as well. You have to sit there and look at that, hon. And when you do, unfortunately, you're looking at a segment of the church. You're looking at a segment of Christian religion. They lay right there in front of you dying. And have no assurance of the person. I mean, the person, all they believe is a person and he's a person. But somewhere, way off, and when I die, am I going to go to him? Because that's what they've been told. Now, honey, if this is not a crisis in your heart, it ought to be. It is becoming more and more and more with this study a crisis in my heart. Because it isn't true. That view of salvation is not true. It was that view of salvation that I served. And it isn't that salvation is not true. That view, that earthly, self-centered, sin-centered, is sin dealt with? Yes, darling, and the sinner. The cause is removed, and that is true forgiveness. True forgiveness is when he died, I died with him. The cause removed. Well, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, and this goes on to this day, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now that to them gave he power, it needs a little explanation there. But it has to do with the power of the Spirit of God. It has to do with the power of his resurrection. It had, you know, because we don't just... It is the power, Paul says, it is the working by which he worketh mightily in me. But we'll leave that for right now. The point is, to those that receive him. Not just believe a teaching. Hon, those disciples were scattered, you know they were, and hid and were afraid, who had been with him for 3.5 years and definitely knew, at least heard, and were instructed in his teachings. And more than that, more than what the Jews heard, more than the parables, he sat down and spoke to them concerning the things to come, which would come, by the way, with him. Not the things that 2,000 years later haven't come yet. I mean, Lord. And it all centered around His coming. Hon, our whole salvation centers around the Lord is come or the Lord is not come. The Scriptures declare, the Spirit declares, heaven, the reality of heavens declare, the volume of the book, He is come. The Spirit declares, He is come. That's the Spirit we have received. Not a spirit of fear. But the Spirit of adoption, which Spirit identifies, because they are one, with the very indwelling Son of God, the Son that is in us. For He is there by His Spirit. And the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Glory to God. So we're looking at salvation. Well, I don't know. Bill, you're going to have to remind me to turn this thing on, I guess. How much time do I have, Raven?
You're at 40 minutes.
How many?
You're at
40
minutes now.
40?
Yeah. 40? You're at
40. Oh, okay.
You have 20 left.
40 minutes left. Oh, it's 45.
Yeah.
So I have 15 minutes
just
left.
To give you a visual,
yeah, I don't understand that, and I have 15 minutes left.
You have 20.
20.
I'm giving you that so you'll know what's
up. I have 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Like I said, now you have 18, so it takes 2 minutes to figure that out.
Yeah.
Now we're not confused anymore. Bless the Lord. Well, I've been trying to get off of this page since we started this study. One of the paramount, or one of the very important purposes are things dealing with the understanding of our union is the understanding of that union one with another. Because it's not about me and mine, it's about Him and His. It's not about me and my body, it's about Him and His body, whose body we are. And hun, we can say that, you know, that may be a cute little saying, may not be, but it's a saying. But it's more than that, and we can say that all we want to. There's got to be an image change in our soul. We've got to come from the image by which we know all things, the outside, even the outer glory, the outer whatever, everything, you know. Not just the law, but the way we know God. Our view of one another is outward. And so many times our view of Christ is too. We bear the image of the first man. But we shall bear the image of the second. And that's all bound up with the truth of resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, the seed that falls into the ground and died is not that body that He brings forth, but the body given to it of God. And that's not the body of His death, but to every seed God gives His own body, which is the body that you and I are. Not in the flesh, but by the very Spirit of God dwelling in us, in our soul. In our soul. The body that you're looking at now, as we've said many times, but it is true, can be taken away. It can go to death. It can be taken away in 101 ways. It can be taken away. But His body remains because of the union with Him. And hon, just see, that's why that union can only be truly understood in the face of the One in whom and by whom that union exists. That's Christ. That's Christ. That was what I woke up thinking about when I said our union with a person. It because it's a person. See? Because it's a person. Well, our identifying with one another is in Him. It's not in one another. The hand doesn't identify with the hand. Not even in the natural. The foot doesn't identify with the foot, and yet they both work together. No. We identify with the head. That's where we understand not only that we are one, but we begin to understand the One whose body we are. And there's no other way to do it. In fact, an examination of the members will only increase the separation. That's true. The church world today is notorious for setting up standards by which we can examine one another. And that continues to go on. These standards whereby we identify with one another, standards of false judgment, standards of self-righteousness mainly, but the identification that God brings is with His Son. Because the Son honey, is the center of God's thought. Who did the Father raise up out from among the dead? I wish that my heart, I wish that our hearts and our souls somehow, and I know the somehow, but I wish that in the very face of the Son of God, by the permission and Spirit of the Father, that you and I could really see the destruction, the judgment, the tearing down and destroying of all that He took into His body on the cross and brought into death. If we could see that, I doubt that we could even write a song about it. But darling, it was He who was raised up out from among all of that. He and He alone. And the only way the Father can see us, accept us, know us, is in that Son and who that Son is made unto us. That's the only way we are accepted of the Father. That is God's answer. And it always was God's answer. That was God's answer to His purpose for the soul, and it is God's answer for the crisis that the soul came to, and it is God's answer as to the redemption of the soul. That answer is Christ. Christ, Christ. Christ in Him, you in Christ, and Christ in you. The answer is our union with Christ. Now, in that union, you can find many realities. Reality of salvation as a whole, W-H-O-L-E. And then the answer to salvation in all of its parts, righteousness, holiness, sanctification, redemption, reconciliation. I can go on. All of the parts. All of the parts. Some of the parts directly relating to the need because of sin, but some of the parts relating to that which the Father wanted from eternity unto eternity, like fellowship. Fellowship with the Father. The answer to that is that He has called us into the fellowship of the Son. No man knows the Father save the Son. And no man knows the Son save the Father. And that fellowship is based, that fellowship I'm talking about right now, is based upon the knowing of Him. And there are other words. The will of God. Satisfied, finalized. The will of God. Which goes far beyond in its working, in its determination, and in its divine authority than dealing with sin. It goes on beyond that. So we find that fulfilled in Christ as well. There's nothing. That the Father does not bring us to the understanding of by opening the eyes of our understanding through the comprehending of Christ. Nothing. Not one thing. Well, all right. I sat up here some yesterday evening and then at the house too and looking at all of this. Now, I've got about a few minutes here. And I've had written down here for weeks, if not months, John 16, 12 through 16. And it relates to this big paragraph that I've been talking about, the identification that God brings is with His Son. The focusing of our hearts upon the Son. And I can't emphasize that too much. We're talking about being in Christ. And these things are true statements. But they're only realized in the very spirit of our understanding, in the very spirit of our hearts, in the face of the Lord Jesus, who is not just somebody that's done a good work, and now that good work is complete, and he's in retirement. No, that isn't the way it is at all. He's the good work. He's the finished work. He's the righteousness of God. The whole, come on, and he's in you, and he's in me. And by virtue of that, we're in union with him. We're talking about a living salvation here. And it's the same thing. I'm not going to read the rest of what I have here, which is pretty much just looking at what Paul says about the same thing. But look at what Jesus says. I've been wanting to just read these verses in connection with what I've been saying. John 16. Finally, we've moved from 14 to 16. I have yet, 16:12. He's talking about the Spirit of God. He's talking about that form in which he is to come and did come and is now come. One judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Oh, my Lord. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. That is a state of being. It isn't something just done. If we could ever get, if Christians could get a hold of that, that which is come in Christ, because Christ is come. Hallelujah. I mean, it's a state of being. Even when translators translate it, they have to use words that show that it's a state of being. Is come, he will guide you into all, A-L-L, the whole, W-H-O-L-E, the whole truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What is that? It's the things of which I am, he is saying, now speaking. That's what he's doing. He's talking to them about this is coming, this is coming. When he is come, things to come is not a bunch of events, son. He will show you things to come. Things, he'll take what I've been talking with you about for all these days, he could say, and he'll show them to you. He will show you I'm in my Father. He will show you that you're in me. He will show you that I'm in you. He shall glorify me. Now here it is. Here are the things. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. We're not talking about 2,000 years or 2,000 more or 10,000 more. We're talking about his coming anew issuing, making full the day of Pentecost. It had never been fully come. It was fully come because he who is the fullness of all things came and is come. And that's the little while. That's the reason he was so quick to show himself as he did for 40 days to his disciples. And in doing so, secure them again and again and again that they indeed go to the appointed place and wait for his coming in newness, as they did. As they did. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Well, all right. At least I got those verses read. It is the Spirit. It is the Spirit, hon, who opens the eyes of our understanding. Not to show us spiritual things, so-called, but to show us the one in whom all these things are brought to fullness, in whom all these things have their substance. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great grace. That grace that is measured in no other but your very Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that grace. May that grace, through the eyes of understanding by the Spirit of God, may that grace abound in our hearts. May we see not I, but the grace of God who liveth in me. This lead us and guide us and direct us, and we thank you for it in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. And it's good to have you with us today. We had a wonderful week here for our conference time. We greatly missed you who were not able to be here, but we trust that some of that was shared with you in the same way that you're seeing us now. But we're so thankful for all who were able to come. We made not only new acquaintances, but we made new fellowship. That fellowship that is in Christ. A fellowship that will abound in the very knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, one with another. And so we're thankful for what the Lord did during that week here in this place as well as where you are. So let us hear from you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for you who actually helped support that gathering just a week or two ago. Thank you for that. It was a help, and we appreciate it very much. So the Lord bless, and we'll see you next time. Amen.
forever.